Good morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm glad you're here. Very good to have visitors here this morning, and also the regulars. We would very much miss you if you weren't here. We are going to preach this morning on a subject that known very often, I have never preached on. And it's a study of the book of Habakkuk. You want to find, and I'll let you go to your directories in your Bible if you can't find it without doing that. But it's after Nahum and close to Micah. Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. I think there's quite a lesson from Habakkuk. I was recently reading in Habakkuk the message of Habakkuk, and I began to be impressed, and especially this morning as I think about the Sunday school lesson and the emphasis of the service so far has been on the day of the Lord and the judgment and second coming. And Habakkuk was a prophet that prophesied to Israel at a time of apostasy and departure from God. He lived and prophesied just before Israel was taken into captivity in Babylon. So you can kind of get the impression of what Habakkuk's life was like. Many of us were contemplating the question in the adult class this morning, how often should we witness and speak a word for the Lord? And it was Habakkuk's job to prophesy in a very apostate setting. And he was to tell a story of return to God. Return to God and promote revival and it wasn't very popular. It wasn't accepted like it should have been. And of course, this morning there is a lot we won't say about Habakkuk that you can conclude about a study of Habakkuk. The setting was in 2 Kings 21 through 23 was kind of that era. That story was some of the sins are mentioned there. But Habakkuk introduces a very biblical theme and the dynamic of faithfulness. He introduces the idea in the fourth verse of the second chapter, that behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. He's talking about those who are not part of God's kingdom. But the just shall live by his faith. And there we find the dynamic that Habakkuk was promoting, and it's repeated. I believe that phrase is almost repeated verbatim in the New Testament. We might look at that after a while, but that dynamic, the just shall live by his faith, the connection of faith and God, and being able to live in an apostate society and to witness for God, and to stand on the principles of truth and say, here I am. Here I am. Here is the word of God. Believe the word of God. And to talk about how he was preserved and all that. But the just shall live by his faith. A dynamic that is still going today. Brethren and sisters, you're going to Bangladesh. You're going to wherever. You're going to Columbiana. You're going to witness anywhere. You are going to witness and live by your faith if you're going to mount to anything. as a witness for Jesus Christ. God was going to bring judgment on the sins of Israel, but there was always going to be a faithful remnant that was going to be preserved and who lived by faith. So we see Habakkuk's message, the burden of the message is to realize that sin is indeed a horrible thing in the sight of God, and that he will judge sin. The faithful, though usually a remnant, there's only a few of us that are faithful. We might as well get that straight. We're a remnant. There's not a lot of us around in comparison to the masses of people that are faithful. The faithful, though usually a remnant, will live by faith. And we see the warnings and truth from the book of Habakkuk. And we'd like to apply it this morning mostly to our nation. I think we need to know what's going on around us. There's a lot of things going on around us in our nation. And of course, we can't talk about them all, maybe not even the most important things. But the fact is still true that the just shall live by faith. And the other truth that I would like to bring out very clearly is that God will bring judgment on sin. God will bring judgment on sin. And we could apply this to our individual lives and also to the nations. And we often apply it to the individual life of the believer and the person and calling them to repentance and so forth. But this morning I would like to look at our nation and nation where the situation we're in. First of all, I would like to read Habakkuk chapter 1 and go down through chapter 2, verse 4. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see, the Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. The prophet was frustrated here with the futileness of praying to God. He said, God, what's going on? I'm crying, and thou wilt not hear. Nothing seems to change. I'm even crying out of thee about violence, and you don't change a thing. What's going on here? Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? Why do I see all these things going on? For spoiling and violence are before me, and they are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is stacked, and judgment never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Isn't that 2016 United States of America, where wrong judgment is proceeding? Where it is legal and right and to live in an immoral state, men with men and women with women, and it's held up by the United States Supreme Court? Wrong judgment is proceeding today in 2016, just like it was in the days of Habakkuk. That's what's going on. Behold ye among the heathen in regard and wonder marvelous, for I will work a work in your days that you will not believe, though it be told you. There's something going to happen. Habakkuk's message was this: that something is going to happen that you won't believe will happen. You're not going to believe it. What's coming down the road, folks? I got a message. You hear, you listen to me. He said, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation shall mark through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. The Chaldeans, they're coming to get us. That's the message of Habakkuk. The Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, and it was almost unthinkable that the Chaldeans would come and take Israel. He says, in describing the Chaldeans, he says in verse 7, they are terrible and dreadful, their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as an eagle that hastes to the wheat. He is describing the Chaldeans' military might in verse 8. He says their horses are swifter than leopards. And all that, we don't have time to go into that. And verse 9 says, they shall come all for violence. Their faces shall suffer as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. I have to believe that that verse has some unwritten meaning. That Israel was prepared for judgment, and they were living just like they always did. They were having normal days, normal business, normal entertainment, and all of a sudden, here comes the Chaldeans, and they gather up the captives, everybody included, and they say, we're going down to Babylon. You're going to be serving us. Can you imagine what would happen if the Chaldeans would come and take this group of people that's sitting here and go down to Babylon, away from all that they know, away from all the jobs that we're used to, away from the fellow society that we know, and these fellows are saying, you're coming with us. I have to believe that's what happened. It says they were gathered up as the dust. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Furthermore, these people that take us captivity are saying, the God of the Chaldeans is the great God. And then Habakkuk says this, art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? He's asking that as a contemplative question. We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Yeah, God, you know what you're doing. You're from everlasting, and you have established the Chaldeans for a purpose. They have been ordained for judgment. They come, they're taking us, and it's judgment, your judgment, God, that they're doing. Almighty God, thou hast established them for correction. They're coming to correct the situation and bring judgment. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Isn't that our God? Isn't that our God? Shouldn't we preach about that God? Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. This, your society in Israel is full of debauchery and sin. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? and make us men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. They take up all of them with the angle, and they catch them in their net. They gather them in their drag, therefore they rejoice and are glad. There's a lot in there, but we'll just read over that. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net, burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare to continually slay the nations? Now, if you weren't paying attention before, pay attention now. The first four verses. Here's Habakkuk. Here's Habakkuk speaking. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. I'm standing on my watch. I am going to stand here and say the word of God. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth. Habakkuk, the Lord was telling him, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables. Make it bright and clear, that he may run. Take something and try and read it while you run. While you run down the road. Read it while you run down the road. I want it in big enough, clear enough, and the writing that you can read it while you run. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but the end of it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Judgment is coming. That's what Habakkuk needed to tell them. Judgment is coming. Though it tarries, just hold on. You need some patience here, but judgment is coming. Because it will surely come. That's where we are today, right? We're sitting here and things are going on. We go from the 1940s, the 1950s, the 1960s, the 1970s, the 1980s, 90s, 2000. Surely something was going to happen in the year of 2000, but it didn't happen. 2010, and here we're all the way to 2016, and it still hasn't happened yet. It's coming, folks. The judgment, the Chaldeans are surely coming. And God is going to bring judgment on America. It surely will come. It surely will come. Verse 4 then, powerful verse. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Again, the society of 2016. The lifted up soul. People live in Manhattan and they live in places called the Trump Tower and places like that. They're lifted up. And it's their soul is not upright in him. Then he says, almost as a conclusion, and something very special, but the just shall live by his faith. What a powerful message. But the just shall live by his faith. This morning I ask you, bluntly and clearly, do you have faith in the word of God and his way of salvation? It's a question you must contemplate yourself within your heart. and then think about society about you and think if they too are thinking right about this great big deal. It is the big deal, but the just shall live by his faith. I'm going to refer to a number of other parts of Habakkuk as we go through the message this morning. We need to see parallels to today. We're living in 2016. This word of God here, the Habakkuk, is passage of scripture that we don't very often talk about. But the message is poignant. The message is clear that we need to see parallels. I want to clearly state that we are part of God's chosen people by faith, not because we were born into Israel. That could be a conflict about this message. We live in an increasingly secular nation. When I'm talking about secular, there means that they're trying to get rid of all the vestiges of Judeo-Christian heritage. People that are raised with even the world for years was based their decisions on somewhat on the Word of God. But we live in an increasingly secular nation where our own president is saying that you can believe whatever you want to. Just believe it. Is that really the way it is? I ask you very clearly, is that really the way it is? We have enjoyed broad freedom because the founding fathers of this nation were basically embracing a view of God that had respect unto Christianity. Now, I'm not saying that our founding fathers were Christian. They had respect for the Bible and for Christianity. I would like to look quickly at God's message by the prophet Habakkuk. One thing it was to do was to understand God and his long-suffering. In verse 2, he asked this contemplative question, Lord, how long? Lord, how long shall I cry? How long am I going to have to preach this message? I'm okay with preaching it, but I'm getting, what about coming along and maybe, so I don't look like a fool? How long? And then in verse 4, it says, wrong judgment proceedeth. Freedom without restraints means licentiousness. In a society, freedom without restraint means license to sin, put it simply. We live in a day today that one of the current issues in the news and what we're struggling with is whether it's hard, I shouldn't even say it, but I'm going to anyways. Whether men can go into a woman's bathroom or gay women can go into a men's bathroom because of whatever they determine their sex to be. Can you imagine 20 years ago that we would be facing the society we are now? That is the current hot button topic. Whether men use a men's restroom it seems so stupid. I can hardly believe it. It seems like you shouldn't even talk about it, but that's what our society is facing. In a long sought victory for the gay rights movement, the Supreme Court ruled by 5-4 vote last summer that the Constitution guarantees a right to same-sex marriage. A 5-4 vote to make it legal to allow what God calls in the Old Testament an abomination. It is called an abomination. And it is an abomination. Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy in writing in favor of that ruling, he said, "No longer may this liberty be denied." Justice Anthony Kennedy wrote for the majority in the historic decision, "No union is more profound than marriage, for it embodies the highest ideals of love, fidelity, and devotion, sacrifice, and family. In forming a marital union, two people become something greater than once they were. But, brethren and sisters, the one thing Anthony Kennedy forgot, maybe not forgot, but was willingly ignorant about, like we talked in the Sunday school this morning, is that God's eternal law still stands whether he rules in favor of the majority of the United States Supreme Court or not. He failed to recognize the higher law of God. In North Carolina, maybe some of you are here from North Carolina this morning. Your governor has stood up and signed a bill that you can only use a man's bathroom if you're a man. He's one of the few that is willing to stand up. I'm saying all this because I want you to realize that we are headed towards judgment. We are headed towards judgment. There is no doubt about it. It will surely come. Did to Habakkuk, and it will surely come to us. The North Carolina governor has signed a bill that you can only use the bathroom for your gender, and you know what? Big companies like Pepsi-Cola are threatening to take their businesses out of his state and go to another one. That's how evil our society is. That's how evil our society is. And we could go on and on about that. But number two, I'd like to look at God's message of judgment. The Chaldeans were to come and take Israel. And it seemed to them that was an impossibility. That was a virtually improbable. For lo, I raise up, verse 6 of chapter 1, for lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, and they're going to come and get you. That's what he says. We look at our situation in America in 2016, and we say that, oh, no, we're the biggest, most advanced nation in the face of the earth. It's not going to happen. Judgment is not coming. Dear people, this morning, God can do a work change things dramatically within the course of minutes or days or weeks. And we are going to do where we are going to be where God wants us to be. And in every society before that has gone down this road, Rome went down this road. And it's just a few pages in the history book. The United States of America, if it continues on a course they are going on, is going to be just a few pages in a history book someday if the Lord preserves the earth. There's no doubt in my mind about it. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Number three, God's reasons for judgment of sin. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Verse 13 of chapter 1. Manasseh was the king during Habakkuk's prophecy, and he shed innocent blood very much. 1st, 2nd Kings says, tell he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. Manasseh was evil. Today, God's reasons for judgment on sin is sin. By age 18, an American child has seen 16,000 simulated murders and 200,000 acts of violence. By the time they're 18, the average American child sees 16,000 simulated murders and 200,000 acts of violence. Children's greatest exposure to violence comes from television, TV shows, movies edited for television, and video games expose young children to a level of violence unimaginable just a few years ago. The average child watches 8,000 televised murders and 100,000 acts of violence before finishing elementary school. The number more than doubles by the time he or she reaches 18. Our society, in verse 3, it said Habakkuk preached a message. He said, violence is before me. 2016, violence is before us. Violence is before us. Since the historic ruling of Roe versus Wade in 1971 or 2, whenever it is, there's been 50 million abortions. 50 million children sent to heaven, you might say. Could be worse places, but it's a sin. It's a sin. Currently, there are 210 induced abortions per 1,000 live births in this country. There are, in 1,000 live births during that time, there is 210 abortions. One-fifth of all the children that should be born are slain, innocent blood is upon us. Folks, judgment is coming. Substance abuse. $24.6 million Americans aged 12 or older. 94% of the population had used an illicit drug 10% of the people you see walking up and down the streets are using illicit drugs in the past month. In the past month. Perversion is rampant. Plurality of worship is upon us. Obama, in a number of his speeches, has said you need to worship the God of your choice. My Bible says Habakkuk preached a message that thou art from everlasting, O God. That is the God that we need to preach. We live in a needy society where we need to preach the Word of God. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. What is faith? Faith is believing in God, building arcs, fearing God, being controlled by God. And for us today, it's having the Holy Spirit dwell within us. Therefore, the people that are living by faith are experiencing peace within a conscience that is free from guilt. That's what living by faith is. The just, more importantly and more bluntly, are those who are right with God. We are the people. The just that live by faith are people that have embraced God's view of redemption. We accept Jesus Christ as the atonement for our sins. Have you done that? Do you have a living relationship with the God of heaven through Jesus Christ? Judgment is coming. Oh Lord, how long? But judgment is coming, and it's those, the just shall live by his faith. And whether we are transported, whether we are allowed to live on this planet and live here where we always did, is all right. But the just shall live by his faith. We might be transported to heaven. We might be transported to heaven. And find out what it is like to live in perfect righteousness, in perfect life. The just, more than that, they believe in moral absolutes. It's not a question. We believe that right is right and wrong is wrong. And that homosexuality, abortion, is an absolute decision of ours that we will not do it. It is sin. It's always sin. And it's always going to be sin. It's forever settled in the Word of God. That's what we believe, the just. More than that, the just believe God's word, and that they know that one day every individual sitting in this room is going to stand before the God of heaven, looking in his eyes and saying, and hearing the words, "Come, ye blessed, or depart from me, ye wicked." No amount of arguing, no amount of saying that everybody else did it is going to work. There's going to be a judgment made. God will bring his inevitable judgments upon our society for its sins. The likely scenario is this, that we will suffer with our society. But the just will live by their faith. Not by another's faith, not by the faith of your church, but by the faith, by your personal faith. In the days of Habakkuk, it was to obey and believe the promise of God. Today, it is likewise. We must believe the promises of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Living by faith, eternal life. The last three verses of Habakkuk: although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines. This is Habakkuk saying, although the fig tree does not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, nothing coming from the fields, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls, no cattle in the freestall barns. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon nine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Though everything goes south, like we say, though the society around us is judged, the just shall live by his faith. My question to you, I want everybody to apply it and ask themselves a serious question. Are you living by faith in God's plan of salvation? The just shall live by his faith. It doesn't say where he's going to live, whether earth or heaven, but the just shall live by faith. Let's pray.